All right, thanks for that, Leon. Perhaps if I can go to a community that's a little bit more remote than Yarrabah. Vanessa, would you have any comment upon communities' perceptions of policing at this early stage?
We used to have a lot of good a lot of state police that were very welcomed into the community. All over, not just the justice group, but a lot of locals tried to teach a lot of our state police. Who belongs to which clan, and if there's underlying issues, we always had state police that were always taught. A lot of times when we have new police officers, some of them aren't used to being involved with the community, going to social functions or mixing with the community. It's only when they're prompted, usually they do come into the community. What Leon's saying about those underlying issues, sometimes it happens up in Pomperow, like, you know, if there's long, for years, arguments that are happening, and you get new police officers that come in, don't know what's happening, it's really hard for them. Cross-cultural training needs to happen a lot more too, because, you know, every Indigenous community differs from one to another, and each individual community has different cross-cultural training that needs to be done. You know, our problem at the moment I see is we don't have enough state police based in the community, because we only have the two police officers, and they have such a broad area to police. You know, between Arakoon and Kawanyama, it's such a big area up to Strathgordon Station. You know, and there's been times where they've had to be called out to fishing camps that are like 2-3 hours drive on a bush track, and there's not been a police officer because they've had to be called out for urgent matters, and we've had to rely on community police, and our community police feel stuck in between their families and doing their job, and sometimes it's really hard for them as well. Language and culture is a big factor up in Pomperow. Really hard sometimes, yeah.
Thanks, Vanessa. If we can look at the Torres Strait. Margaret, how do you see it in the Torres Strait, the issues that have been spoken about just in this background stage of the community's perceptions of policing?
First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional landowners of the area that we speak on, and send greetings from the traditional landowners from the Torres Strait, also to acknowledge the elders in both areas. I just wanted to make a comment in your opening speech about your visit to the Torres Strait. I appreciate that you addressed the ICC at a meeting in March and visited some of the communities up in the Straits. I was going to ask that it would be better if you visit all the Outer Island communities so that you could appreciate the sort of remoteness that we live in, the differing issues that we have in our communities as well, and issues that are surfacing within the communities today. We don't only, the police in our communities don't only police Australian people, Torres Strait Islanders. We have the influx of Papua New Guineans coming through under the pre-free movement in the treaty. And there are issues also in that aspect. Traditionally, and I can be supported by Father Mosby from York Island, we've had good relationships with the police, the state police in the Torres Strait. I think the fall-down point, the biggest area where they fail is that they cannot... We don't have the luxury of lifting the phone and getting police at our house if there's a domestic violence next door. And this puts our own community police in a position that if they're related to the people that are actually involved in this violence, then traditionally they have to stand off, they have to observe their culture. So there's an issue in things such as those sort of issues in the community. The presence of the state police on TI actually can't come the way it does on the mainland or even on TI itself. You just can't get anybody out until they have their flights available or they come out on the normal service flights or on the airlines that fly around the island. That's one of our biggest issues, but there's also, of course, the issue with the amalgamations that are happening next year. What's going to happen to our community police on the ground in our communities? Under the Local Government Act, there is nothing there for community police. And under the new Torres Strait Islander Regional Council and the act that they'll be abiding by, there is also no mention in there of community police. In a report handed to me by Mr. Mosby, there's about 60 community liaison officers within the Torres Strait. That's a lot of jobs that are going to go missing. A lot of people that will not have a job. And the actual reform process itself that takes place next year, we'll see. I predict this I feel very strongly about this. A higher rise in our communities of domestic violence, of alcoholism being spread throughout our communities. There'll be so much crime because all the rights of our people are being taken away, our recognition is being taken away through this amalgamation process. There will be no authority in our communities. Only one person stands in those communities with authority, and they'll be just like our community police today, toothless tigers. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Look, we might break at this stage for morning tea, if we can take 15 minutes or so, and we come back. And at that stage, we'll move on to, as we note in our outline, we want to look at ideas for effective policing. What sort of things do police need to do to be operating effectively within these communities? All right, thank you.